The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons, they will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven. He took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord. All right, please be seated. So how many of you guys have ever heard of Genghis Khan?
Yes.
Oh yeah, somebody back. I've got a very enthusiastic... Okay, I'm going to have to meet you someday. Okay. So why did Genghis Khan get famous? This is a rhetorical question, so don't answer. Okay, why did Genghis Khan get famous? Because he was really good at conquering. Actually, he had, during his lifetime, and he didn't really live that long, but during his lifetime, he created one of the largest empires that human history has ever seen, because he had a new way of fighting, and they were really good at it, and nobody could stop him, and he just kept spreading out. He went all the way from Mongolia, which is north of China, and he just kept going east all the way. He actually got into Europe. It's pretty impressive. He actually, even into the Middle East, he beat up the Sultan, which was considered to be, the Turks at the time were considered to have like the strongest empire in the world, until Genghis Khan came along and showed them otherwise. So he was an impressive guy. But here's the problem. He did not really do a whole lot in terms of trying to think, okay, once we're done conquering, now what? So he did not do a good job setting up a government, setting up laws, setting up rules, training people to be good rulers. So one day he died, and it's like the armies all returned home, and they're like, okay, now what do we do? And they really didn't, after he was done conquering everybody, they had to return home, and they really didn't become that great an empire after that. He was kind of like a flash in the pan. He was like an explosion, just kind of pah, and then it's over with, right? The Roman Empire, you know, part of the reason why the Roman Empire is considered so great is it lasted a long time because they had laws, they wrote down the rules, they set up structures, and, you know, they came up with a system so it didn't just depend on Julius Caesar or Caesar Augustus or one guy, but there was enough stuff in the culture so that one person would take over and the thing would continue running well. So if you're going to be a good ruler, you want to do that, right? You want to set up, you don't just want to like conquer and then that's over with. You want to, if you're going to conquer, you want to make sure that you start setting things up so that when you're gone, this thing will keep going. This country will keep going. This empire will keep going. And you want to make sure that it doesn't just go, but you want to make sure that it runs really well. You want to make sure that the laws are as good as possible, that because that's going to determine how happy your people are, how prosperous your people are, how successful you are as a country, all that stuff, right? Well, the Roman Empire doesn't exist anymore, does it? The Roman Empire did not last. I mean, when did it dissolve? Don't even know. In the 400s? 400s. Okay, there you go. Roman Empire dissolved in the 400s. At least the Roman Empire as we know it. Dissolved in the 400s. But it had a good run. I mean, it lasted like, what, 500 years? Something like that. So why didn't it last? Well, people study and there are all kinds of reasons. But the main reason it didn't last was really because they got soft. They got soft. After being powerful for a long time, even though they had these rules, after a while the people kept getting lazier and softer and started losing all the things that made them a great empire in the first place. In the beginning they were tough, they had strong laws. They had strong sense of justice. They, you know, the individual Roman person was strong. They tried to be as good as they could. They studied hard. They worked hard. They did all that stuff. Later on, they got lazy and just kind of comfort loving. It'd be kind of like the equivalent of today, just sitting in your bedroom playing video games and eating popcorn. You know, you're not going to excel in college, and you're not going to be a great athlete if that's all you do, right? But what if somehow they were able to have like the spirit of the original great Roman people, Julius Caesar? What if somehow like his ghost could come and still be inside the empire so that they would still have those ideals of greatness? Well, they probably would have maintained their empire. They would have lasted, right? And that is kind of what the ideal empire would look like. You'd be able to conquer, you'd be able to have good rules and good laws, but even more than that, you would have the spirit of the people that made that empire great still living inside the people. Well, here's the thing. Jesus has a kingdom. Jesus has a kingdom. And he created a church, right? And he created a church founded on 12 people, but he knew these people need rules. They need to know what is going to be, how do I want my kingdom to be? So through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he left us a Bible. But he didn't just give us a collection of writings. When Jesus was on earth, you know, of course people followed him because he was a great leader, but he also realized, someday I'm going to have to die, I'm going to have to go to heaven. But when I'm in heaven, what am I going to do? I'm going to send out my Holy Spirit so it lives inside of my church and it guides that church. And what I'm going to do when I'm in heaven is just spend my entire heaven standing between God the Father and humanity. And every time God wants to look at humanity, every time he wants to look at us, from now on, after the Feast of the Ascension, which is what we celebrate today, he has to look at Jesus. And through Jesus, he's going to look at us. So Jesus is making sure that for all of eternity, he's going to be there. He's going to intercede on behalf of his church, and he sends his Holy Spirit into the church so that we don't lose that initial spirit. We don't lose that initial fire that the church had. The Holy Spirit, who he's going to send to us in Pentecost in just a few days' time, a little over a week, is the spirit of Jesus that's going to enable us to have the same holiness as the original 12 disciples, the same holiness as the early Christians, the same holiness from the very beginning of the church. It's all there available to us. And the reason that's all available is because of what we celebrate today. Because when Jesus went into heaven, he didn't just go into heaven and say bye-bye. He went into heaven to send the Holy Spirit to us and to intercede before God for us. So, I don't know if any of that makes sense to you, but that's why today is such a big feast day. This is why we're celebrating in such a big way. So, whenever you need, you know that you can turn to Jesus, you can always ask Jesus in prayer, Lord, send me your Holy Spirit so that I can know how to act in this moment, so that I can know how you want me to be a saint in this moment. And Jesus will always be standing there interceding, and he will always be happy to send us his Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.